So Hare Krishna, I would like to welcome you to your, I think it's the third day of your retreat. This is wonderful. Hare Krishna. You have all really given yourself wonderfully to the process. I can imagine by now your heart gets softer. The scrubbing is done, the cleaning is done by so much chanting in such good association under the guidance of such accomplished kirtan leaders. There is something going on, and in my talks I'm speaking the whole day with devotees. I have no pause. I can see that they are becoming very thoughtful. Sometimes we confront our own weaknesses, and there is something like a pain also, a sweet pain in a way. The hard thing, the piercing thing in that pain is that we just see, oh my God, I am what I am, you know, like that. That's a piercing thing in the pain. But the sweetness is that there is some light in the horizon. Yes, I also feel if I continue this process of chanting, and if I just learn these simple things which we do in the workshop, simple yet so effective things, then there is a hope. And I could see yesterday when we all heard from this work, it's Gopal Champu, which is the basis of these evening programs. When we heard about Krishna and how wonderful he is, and how he's now going to the town of death, and we already feel he will be conquering death there, and we begin to think of, it's a very nice thing. So today my morning class won't be so philosophical, not so hard to understand. I still request you to concentrate. I should tell you a little bit where we are. You know, we are much of what we do is informed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's work, Kalyana Kalpataru. That's a very interesting work. Here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he brought with him a desire tree, a Kalpataru. You can go to this desire tree and obtain everything you wish in your spiritual life. In that book, he said, well, he expanded the analogy of the wish-fulfilling tree to something which we are all a little bit more familiar with. It's a marketplace. I don't know of your times, but when I was young and the world was younger, there was a market in Paris. And we young people knew if you want to buy things of interest, like books which you couldn't get on the book market any longer, or even, you know, I must admit, I was also interested in interesting clothes. So if you wanted to get that and interesting clocks and so, you had to go to the flea market in Paris. So we always bought a train. We went for free on the train, no, it was all I was the son of a train director. I just had a passport where I could go to for free, a train passport. So we would go there frequently and look at the antiquated things, the books. Oh, books! We would be there the whole day and just read in a corner all the interesting books, and look here and look there on the flea market, I do remember. You could get anything you wanted on that flea market. So here, another market is introduced. Not a Maya market, like in Paris, but the market of the place of the Holy Name. And it is said that you can buy there different, let us say, different enhanced holy names. It's always the holy name which you can get, but with some enhancement, some deeper realization. But you have to pay the price. So for the price, if you want the holy name, where you can, while you chant, solve some of the mystery and understand how Krishna is identical with his holy name. If you, in other words, want the holy name and a revelation of the form, you have to pay 1/8 of a silver coin. What is 1/8 of a silver coin? It translates into nishtha, or steady devotional service. Steady devotional service is when you are no longer up and down, sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes in good, reliable spirit, and sometimes in the blues. It means avikshepena satatyam, a constancy and freedom from distraction. If you are constant in your chanting, if you you just don't allow the distraction to come, at that time, as you chant, you will purchase the holy name with the Lord's transcendental form. What that means is you chant and all of a sudden you see something like a revelation of a form like there. Have you carefully studied these two beautiful photos? Paintings, yes. Have you studied them? They are extremely beautiful. And if you have a photo camera, you must take a photo of these two photos. I mean, in India you always say a photo when you mean a painting, you know, because it's so real. And as you are able to bring this 1/8 of a silver coin, you chant and it's a revelation of the Lord's name comes. This is very sweet. It takes, it's like liquid molasses or gore. I told you last year that once I was with the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama traveling in the different islands, the 9 islands of Navadvip, and we came to a place, I never forget this, where they made this liquid molasses, this gore. And there was a Russian Mataji, she got some of the liquid molasses and liked it so much that she became a little bit greedy. And she just again approached the liquid molasses, but somehow she stumbled over something and she fell in this huge bathing tub of liquid molasses. And the Bengalis were just laughing, you know, the owners of this molasses thing. They had something, I don't know, you know, some cloth, and they had dug a hole, and there was somehow a specially prepared cloth, and it was apparently molasses proof, you know, so it kept there. And this Russian lady just screamed, and everyone was just, we were all thinking, my God, they will get angry because the molasses is now polluted by the sweat of the Russian Mataji. But for the Bengalis, no problem. It has now foreign export quality. And she was just, I still remember that scene. I mean, it's not good to laugh about the pain and the mishap of others. It's actually not a good we should avoid such jokes, but that was just too funny. She was just, ah, and the big eyes. My point is, it tastes very nice, and the Russian Matisyev, I'll never forget, she really relished that and became a little greedy. So as you advance, huh, you're purchasing capabilities increase. As you advance in your devotional life, in the chanting, you will actually be able to have 1/4 of a silver coin. And that means you are more capable, that is, you have more taste in your devotional practice. And at that time, you will obtain from that transcendental marketplace of the holy name of the Lord, which is imbued with the Lord's qualities. Because remember, this marketplace is special. As you chant the holy name, and as you advance and are able to bring more Krishna consciousness to your practice, you are not depleted. Your qualities are not taken away from you, but your purse is filling. You get more qualities. That is more a purchasing quality. Now you have 1/4 of a silver coin. Your pocket is more full. You have more taste, in other words, in your spiritual life. And as you continue this, you feel it's like solid molasses. It's almost a firm substance. It's so thick and so sweet, the holy name. And what that means is, while you chant, what is the special sweetness at this stage? You will think of Krishna's qualities, especially 3 qualities. That is, his being Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of his devotee, his being grateful for every services which are done, and 1/3 quality, which I've forgotten at the moment, but it might come when my memory awakens more. But my point here is, if you continue on this chanting, you will always, you will feel a lot of investment from above, so that you are able. I remember when I was a little child, there was in our villa where we grew up, there was near to it Mr. Moon. Mr. Moon had a small shop where he was selling to the people on the island the items they needed, toothbrushes and so on. And one day, Mrs. Moon came to my family and said, "Oh, our shop is too small, but we have no money to buy a bigger store and more items. Can you help us?" And my mother was, and still is, a very good person. You have to meet her. She has a very good quality. And she said, "I will see what I can do." And then she phoned Uncle Carlo, who was the rich man, who didn't know what to do with his money. And Uncle Carlo came, inspected Mr. Moon's shop, and then invested in that shop. Some new things appeared on the shelf. It was extended, the shop, and Mr. Moon could do more business because of an investment from Uncle Carlo. I still remember these things from my very my protected childhood. This is what happens on the marketplace of the holy name. You get an investment from above, from the Lord, who has more, who has unlimited mercy to the fallen conditioned souls. And as you are on that sadhana practice, you know, which we have defined yesterday as an attempt for realization, which is sometimes confronting you with your disqualifications. The Lord starts to invest in your case. Your little shop is boosted up by the big mercy capitalist, who really, and your things increase. Therefore, my dear devotees, never despair. Even when you are despairing, don't despair. This little pain, the sharp pain which you feel, is necessary because it will make you hanker. You will become no longer so indifferent to spiritual advancement. You see, I'm really fallen. I'm really an ordinary person. And you get what is called Dinatva. Dinatva means the quality which is so necessary for a Vaishnav, that is humility in your heart. Huh? That as a quality comes. And then that's important. So, good. This is where we are, the marketplace of the holy name. My dear devotees, I can see already your pockets are increasing. The Nityananda invests in your case. So don't worry, this third day is a little, you all look a little sobered up, but tomorrow we get into the drinking the nectar day. Today we will still work a little bit on you, but the verses is over. Good. So I need to find the text now. Ha-ha-cha-cha. Here it is. It's a very, very easy text to chant in Sanskrit. Maduram maduram vapu asya vibhur. Maduram maduram vadanam maduram. Madhugandhi mridu smitametat aho. Maduram, 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 maduram. No, four times. Wait, not so enthusiastic. Maduram, 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 vapu asya vibhur. Maduram, maduram, vadanam, maduram. Madhugandhi mridu smitametadaho. Maduram, maduram, maduram. No. Best of the Sanskrit pandits. You can do much better. Wait, now, if you want, I will give you a sign, but you can do it, don't worry. I mean, concentrate. Maduram, 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 maduram. Congratulations. Isn't it an amazing verse? Now I think you want to know what it says. Oh my Lord. This is Bilva Mangala Thakur speaking, a great devotee of Krishna. Oh my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet. And his face is even sweeter than his body. But his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoting. I will read Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's explanation and then Prabhupada's explanation on this verse. The transcendental form of Lord Sri Krishna is compared to an ocean. Now, a particularly extraordinary vision is the moon above that ocean. It's Sri Krishna's face. And an even more extraordinary vision is his smile, which is sweeter than sweet and is like shining beams of moonlight. While speaking of these things with Sanatan Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to remember one thing after another, moving his hands in ecstasy. He recited a verse, and this is the verse. O my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter. You know, you go, we know you meditate first on the feet and then you go higher, you see the body so sweet, and on top of that, this face. But his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu says to Sanatana Goswami, he's totally beyond himself. He's reciting this verse, his hands are going all over the place, he's gesturing the body, and then the face, and then the sweet smile. It smells like honey. Why? Because Krishna drinks often honey. You know, in his pastimes, he drinks this liquid honey, and then his mouth tastes like the most fragrant of honey. There's also a very deep explanation for it. You know, when you go into these sub verses, you find in the Shastras deeper and deeper explanations, but I'm a little shy, don't know if it's appropriate, so I will not talk about that explanation. So Lord Chaitanya is just going mad, you know, he's drinking the nectar of Krishna's form and his qualities, you know, he is so much full of amazing taste, and I don't want to compare him to my earlier example where someone was a little interested to drink that molasses, no. But Mahaprabhu is just relishing it. He says, my dear Sanatan, the sweetness of Krishna's personality is just like an ocean of ambrosia. Ramananda Roy, have you tasted ambrosia? It's nectar. We have in ISKCON a nectar drink. It's a jokurt, and then you put some, I'm not a cook, I only know it tastes good, but there is many things are in there. So Mahaprabhu says, although my mind is now afflicted by convulsive diseases and I wish to drink that entire ocean of Krishna's sweetness, the repressive physician does not allow me to drink even one drop. Here the purport of Prabhupada. Where there is a combination of kapha, pitta and vayu, the three bodily elements, there occurs sannipati, or a convulsive disease. Lord Chaitanya said, this disease of mine is caused by the personal features of Lord Krishna. The three elements are the beauty of Krishna's body, the beauty of his face, and the beauty of his smile. Stricken by these three beauties, my mind goes into convulsions. It wishes to drink the ocean of Krishna's beauty, but because I'm undergoing convulsions, my physician, who is Sri Krishna himself, does not even allow me to take a drop of water from that ocean. So Prabhupada gets also very ecstatic in this purport, and he now explains. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatic in this way because he was presenting himself in the mood of the gopis. The gopis wanted to drink the ocean of sweetness arising from the bodily features of Krishna, but Krishna did not allow them to come near. Consequently, their desire to meet Krishna increased, and being unable to drink the ambrosia of Krishna's bodily features, they became very unhappy. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Vaskatyane Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitana Babu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari go Bhaktami. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here is an example of tasting the sweetness of Krishna. The example is very, very convincing. The body of Lord Krishna is compared to an ocean. His beautiful face is compared to the moon which rises over the ocean. My dear devotees, some of you have visited the Croatian Japa and Kirtan camp on this beautiful Mediterranean island, which is surrounded by dancing dolphins who chant the holy name. It's almost like that. And some of you have gone out in the night when the Adriatic sounds are there, when the little grills are grilling, not grilling, what is it called? The cicaden? There's a little... What? It's like grasshoppers here, but they're more grasshoppers. They are the shudras amongst the insects. This is like the musicians amongst the... They make their concert in the night. Zikaden is it, the German word. So then, there is this beautiful ocean, you know, or water. You can look on the bottom of the ocean and see the fishes. It's just so idyllic. And you must all come and leave Belgium. Belgium is too, the weather is not appealing. And then, you know, in the night, and then this moon rises, and the light of the dancing moon rays comes just to the place where you chant your japa, and you feel, wow, paradise is achieved. Not Krishna Loka, but paradise. No need of heavenly planets. It's just there. So this is the example here. Krishna's beauty, like an ocean and rising over the ocean. His beautiful face, like the moon, and then the moonbeams are like his smile. You know, he's smiling. When Krishna smiles, we hear that there are rays of light refracting from his teeth. And the parrots, who are a little untrained, they think these beams of light, they are like resting sticks where they can light on, and they you know, they try to sit down on these rays, but obviously they go down and what is wrong here? They fly up and again they try to sit down in Krishna. Krishna is smiling lightly, and he's a boy surrounded with his cowherd boyfriends, and he wants to be a little bit composed, and first he just smiles a little as the parrots try to land on these to perch on these movies, but then he just can't control himself, and he very shyly starts to laugh. You know, a beautiful scene. This happens when Krishna goes to bed in the night. It's described by Kavi Kanapu. Anyways, Mahaprabhu is enjoying and going into these discussions, and he loses himself totally. This is the taste which happens when there is God realization, when one can see Krishna's beautiful form as one chants his holy names. Now for us ordinary people, it is very difficult. It seems to be difficult to do long bhajan, but easy to do sense gratification, because material happiness is easily perceived, because we have these senses which can enjoy material happiness, food, rest, sex, defeating someone in argument and showing your intelligence, and all the pleasures money can buy can easily be perceived by our physical senses and by our mind. But when it comes to the Lord's eternal abode, his associates, his names, his attributes, we need spiritual senses. And unfortunately, they are still not manifested. So material things are tangible, whereas spiritual things are, this is very unfortunate for us, they are at the moment untangible. You know, once there was this blind man who never had drunken milk, and he asked his friend, "What is milk like?" And the friend said, "It's white." "What is white?" said the blind man. "Well, white, well, it's like the feathers of a heron." "What is a heron? I have never seen a heron." Then the friend said, "See, touch my hand." And he made this gesture, and the blind man, when he came to this part, he said, "I never drink milk. This will stuck in my throat." Yeah. So we are also blind people. We cannot see the spiritual dimension very much. At this stage, as we discussed earlier, all what can help us is our faith, which is born in the association of good devotees, you know. But I wanted to read to you a little bit how great devotees experience the holy name. You know, fortunately, we have the rishis and the shastras who talk to us about the spiritual reality. And one thing they talk about is that when you chant the holy name, at that time, Krishna, because the name is not different from the named, then they experience while chanting this sweet darshan, which is so sweet that at the end you were all bewildered by the sweetness. You couldn't fathom this, you know. Maduram means sweet. Maduram, 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 maduram. It's said that Bilva Mangala Thakur had the darshan of Krishna. His eyes were actually blind. Do you know? No? He had both eyes were absolute blind. He didn't see anything. The eyes were totally destroyed, including the optical nerve. You know, there was something happening which I won't tell you. You will be shocked when you hear it. But it is enough. He couldn't see anything. So, but as he was chanting, the beautiful form of Krishna appeared to him, and he could not really describe it very well. He said the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet. He used two times maduram, maduram, sweet, sweet, super sweet, no? And his face is more sweet. Then he used three times the word maduram, and then but his smile, Wow! That is sweet, 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 sweet. And as he was saying this, Krishna Das Kaviraj, who comments this in another work called Krishna Karanamrita, he said, Bilva Mangala, at that point, was just pointing with his fingers, breathless, saying, this is so sweet, Krishna's form is so sweet, because he had this purchasing quality, he had this quality of ruchi, and therefore that everything was revealed to him. The gopis Mahaprabhu is seeing through the eyes of the gopis Krishna's form, and he is very much overwhelmed and recites this verse, and he expresses a dissatisfaction that, my God, it's so sweet, but I can't really see it enough. The gopis had expressed this. They had publicly criticized Lord Brahma for being a fool and idiot. They said, because he's supposed to be the creator, but he made such a defective creation, the eyes. According to Darwin, this is the best creation, the eye, you know, with all the functions and so on. But the gopis say that this is a very, very insufficient creation, because as we look at Krishna, we blink. Why this blinking? Why this cruel interruption of our darshan? Why? Couldn't he make fish eyes? He did it. Why did he make this mistake? And then they had another suggestion for improving the visual thing. At least he could have given us millions of eyes. Then we could see. This is what it means to relish Krishna, to be in Krishna, in the exalted states of Krishna consciousness, to have taste. You just get so interested, you don't want anything else, and you want more of it, and more and more. Mahaprabhu here gives the example of he gets ill. He gets so overwhelmed that it can only be compared with fever. And the fever he has in mind is the typhoid fever. Who of you had typhoid? You're also inexperienced in life. I had typhoid fever last year. It was a very interesting experience. My tongue was so black, like Kali's. You know, it was really, it was absolute interesting. You know, I never had that before. All you want to do when you have typhoid fever is one thing. You don't want to see anything. You don't want to see people. You don't want to go anywhere. You just want to remain in bed. Everything is difficult. Only one thing, you want to drink. And you think, yeah, I'm so thirsty, I could drink oceans. I thought I could drink the whole Radhakund overnight. I'm so thirsty. I could just do, because you're just so thirsty. Now, in old times, doctors forbade their patients to drink so much, because why? That gets on the kidneys, and once the kidneys are destroyed, when you have drink too much, it's not good for the kidneys, then everything falls down. So Mahaprabhu is here bringing this example. I want more of Krishna's form. I want to see, but no one allows me. Krishna is not allowing me. So this is called ecstasy or transcendental madness. Huh? So this happens when you chant the holy name. There is a poem by Rupa Goswami which I want to recite to you, And then, don't worry, then I get into subjects which you feel are relevant for you. But here is something for you. It's amazing, the same thirst, the same absolutely unlimited desire for more taste, which comes into those who see the form of the Lord, like Gauranga Mahaprabhu or the gopis who see Krishna, comes to those who chant, because the name is identical with the form. And he, to prove this, I want to read to you the verse. Tunde tandava niratim vitanute tundava lilaptaye kana kroda kadambini gatayate kana budebhyaspriham cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyat biamritai krishne divana dvai. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar there is in the two syllables Krishna, how much nectar they have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, now you will see the same incredible desire to relish. It appears to dance within the mouth. Krishna seems to be there, dancing on my tongue. We then desire many, many mouths. One mouth is not good enough. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. When Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, heard this verse, he started to dance and said, I've never heard anyone expressing chanting so good. This is the best explanation. He made this point because just like those who see Krishna want millions of eyes to see him better and more, those who chant Krishna on this level of taste, you know, they want many more ears and tongues in order to chant, because the name has the same effect as seeing the form. Once you increase your capital a little bit, your devotional capital, and you come to this stage of ruchi. That ruchi state is something which is given by the mercy of Krishna. We are at the moment called ajata ruchi. Our spiritual taste has not been born yet. You are still in the womb of your mother. This is sometimes Prabhupada said to a guest who thought he knew a lot. He said, you're still in the womb of the mother. You are still, you don't see anything. You know, you're still... So we are still not born, and our taste is still not so much born. But, this is a big but now. Sometimes Krishna, when he sees his devotees struggling, gives them momentary tastes. And this happens for many devotees when they sing together in kirtan. We will do this. You can see, maybe it will happen to you also. I think it will happen to all of you. I think it has happened already. You know, there are these moments which Krishna gives us a little bit Vorschusslorbeeren. This is a very difficult German word. It means you get something before you are actually on that level. But it depends on taste. And I promise to you, practical lecture. This was not so practical, you would say. You have thoroughly discouraged us. We don't have this taste, and therefore we are not privileged to have this divine experience. Our desires are very material, and because we have material desires and material tastes, we just don't get it. But and there is maybe a question to you in your life, which you may have had for many, many years. I had this question for many years, and I'm looking for a quotation of Srila Prabhupada here. And this question was answered to me here. By Giriraj Maharaj, who showed me, let me find it. I can't speak when my eyes are running over the text. Really hope I find it. It's really worthwhile. You will really, everything you have heard will make sense. Yes! Wow, I thought I'd never find it. For many, 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 many years in my own Krishna consciousness, I had this question. When I hear this description of the high taste, I think, you know, this taste is there when you have a strong desire for Krishna and your desires are no longer divided for material things. So my question was, for many years, do I have any way to control my desires? Can you, Ryan, can you tell your mind what your mind wishes? Can you tell yourself, I should have this desire now? It seems it doesn't work, because the desires in the mind are coming due to previous sanskaras, previous impressions. I can say, I know I should desire to only eat one rasagula, but I really desire to eat four. And you know, you can say, I know I should desire to only see Krishna conscious movies produced by ITV, but I really desire to see The Lord of the Rings, you know. If I'm very honest, I have investigated the viewing habits of our members. I know I should desire to go out on book distribution and distribute 40 books a day, but I really want to be near the warm heating system in winter. You know, desires don't work like this, that you say, I know I should desire this. And therefore, my question is, can you do something to influence your desire so that you desire spiritually? Is there a way to go to that place where you desire? And I was not knowing an answer. I really didn't know an answer, and I felt very bad because of this, because I would always say to the devotees, you should do this and that. And they would look at me and said, yes, I know, but how? I want something else, you know, if I'm honest. I look very, the devotees would tell me, you see me in dhoti and sika, but what is inside of me, I think you don't want to see, Maharaj, you know. Desires. So is there a way to, I mean, it seems not to be so easy to just shape up, and then the desires are also shaped up. You know, it seems to be a little bit more complex, you know. So Giriraj Maharaj, he was giving a lecture in America, and I was so fortunate to sit in the lecture, and he said, it's possible to change desires. Then I said, Giriraj Maharaj, now let's sit amongst older people here. We don't need to be, to pretend we are very good. We, how will you change your desire? Be concrete, please. I can see even in older members, desires are also there, but they deal differently with it. They have more spiritual credits, but desires are there. Then he said, you don't know. Prabhupada has said, and I was very, oh God, here's an answer. And he read to me this part. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One's desires, listen carefully, one's desires and ambitions develop according to the company one keeps. It is often said that a man is known by his company, and if an ordinary man associates with devotees, he will certainly develop his dormant Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada goes into explaining this. He says, the understanding of Krishna consciousness is innate. It means it's inherent, it's inside, in every living entity. And it is already developed to some extent when the living entity takes a human body. You know, when you get a human body, just the fact that you are a human being means you do have a little desire for Krishna. Jean-Paul Sartre observed this and he thought this was bad. He said, it seems the human being is cursed to be a religious being. You know, he thought it's a curse to look for God. What a fool. It's already inside. And if you have the good company, and have good company with devotees, then these desires will come up. Very good desires. You will find yourself, well, I also want to chant. Good. This is explained here that one is getting so much taste, like that Russian Mataji who couldn't get enough of that molasses, you know. I also want this. I want to become also single-minded. Not exactly like that Russian Mataji, in terms of Krishna consciousness. I want to not be diverted by anything else. I just want that so much. And as you... So, my dear devotees, company is good. And I think if you ask me what I think is the magic in retreats, it's we have company amongst people who all want the same thing. They want to increase their taste in japa. That works on our heart more than the words you hear. That singing together with Janavi and Manu Prabhu and all these wonderful, wonderful youth kirtan devotees, you know, you feel, oh, I also want, oh, Gopinath, I'm bad, but all these people are good, I also want to be good, you know. You get this desire comes when and if you don't close your heart to that company. When you have company with devotees, you should share. That's why we asked you to share in retreats. You should not close yourself. Be honest talk, open your heart. This is troubling my heart. Yes, I want, but there's also something else. And I want to be Dr. Jekyll, but I miss the Hyde is also sometimes coming. Yes. And so on. Keep company and talk with devotees. Open your heart. read with them together the scriptures, and most important, sit in the Sankirtan. Even if you want to go out, just go quickly to the restroom, do your activity, and come quickly back. They're very important. Then that taste will come to you. This is how you should do. Therefore, devotees now are very enthusiastic about kirtan melas, where they can sing 12 hours a day. I mean, I don't think anyone can do so long, but 8 hours, 9 hours is easily possible. Kamis work for 8 hours a day. We can sing for 8 hours a day. And then, at that time, in that company, you will start to desire for Krishna. And this desire, my dear devotees, is all you have. We are controlled by the material energy. But if the desire becomes purified, then you will go very swiftly on the transcendental path. And then you will feel very, very ecstatic. It's very easy. Your struggle is over. In America, there are some very nice yoga teachers, which I do know. One is really like a devotee. His name is Eddie. Eddie is the best. And he has a temple in his yoga room with Radha Damoda are the names of the deities. And once Eddie asked me, what would you describe in your experience to be the driving force in bhakti? I said, Eddie, it's the attractive pulling force of Krishna. What is that force? Yes, Eddie, you don't know about this. You only as yogis know how you have to push yourself into the asanas, and this has to go there and this has to go and they have to touch. You know, when I try, it's still a kilometer of difference, you know, and so on, and you have to push. But in bhakti, we allow ourselves to be pulled. Now, a question. Who's pushing means you, your power. That is small. But pulling means Krishna, and his power is great. So he can do everything. But you have to obviously desire that. And he still says to me, Maharaj, this point changed my life. I now know bhakti is best. Bhakti is best. So this I wanted to say. Keep that company. You are now in a retreat. It's your third day. That means you are exactly in the middle of the retreat. I request you, please now open more of your heart to the company in which you are. Remember, one of the helpful principles is, how was that principle? A community of seekers. Join a community of seekers. Do this that you discuss also outside. It's not that you should be in the lectures or in the workshops, and then when the bell sounds, ping, it's over, and you talk prajalpa. No, you should talk about these subjects. You should move them. You should become very active members, not passive members of the retreats, and you will see miracles unfolding, because you will see your desires change. And once you desire this very strong, you will walk through walls to get it. Remember how when you joined, you desired it so strong, you gave up millions of euros, you were disinherited, you gave up a career, you gave up a miserable life. Hare Krishna. You had so much vom, what is it? Vom, or as a word to this. I don't know. Determination is a good word. So we need that to go to our next stages, because a lot is ahead. A lot is waiting for us. The Holy Name is waiting for us like sugar molasses. And is waiting for us to give us so much taste as we have heard from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and from Bilva Mangala Thakur. It's 1 minute before 9 and we will end on time. I thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions, I want to repeat again, note them down so that they are not gone. And at 6 o'clock in the beginning of the evening, Qatar, we will have ample time to answer these questions. Now please take your prasadam. Hare Krishna. If you want to find that thing and share it with your friends, how Prabhupada said and how he quoted this verse, you know, Sangat Sanjayate Kaman. It's in text 4 of the Nectar of Instruction, and it is in this edition, page 39. It comes after 3 pages. Best you read the whole purport then and study this. It could change you, and think about this very deeply. Hare Krishna, see you. Really? How would you do it?